good to go.
Okay. So, if you could bring up the Marmocomas for this week and let's discuss where we're going to go with these interesting cases. Where are we going to, are we going to have some sort of conclusion? Let's see. Let's analyze what we have. Nope. Well, we have two cases online tonight. Let's see what the halacha will dictate to us. On the right-hand side, the penguin case, I call it. What's the penguin case? Well, the case was, as Reuven, Toshin, Ayin Hey, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, in the summer, that it was a huge, huge heat wave in Eretz Yisrael. He always goes to holiday in Eretz Yisrael, but this year it was just too much for him. And he decided, look, he's going to go to somewhere where he's able to enjoy the holiday. So where better to enjoy a holiday? In the mountains of Switzerland. So he calls up his friend, Reb Shimon, and he says, no, it's so hot over here, Reb Shimon. I can't stand it. I need good weather. Go to Switzerland. Book me the holiday. You're a travel agent. Book it for me. Here's my credit card. And he books the holiday for Reuven the following week. Just before he's about to leave Reuven, lo and behold, huge news in Europe, huge heat wave going across Europe, especially Switzerland, extremely hot. And he found out that it's hotter than Israel. And know what? Guess what? They don't have mazganim. They don't have any air conditioning units in Switzerland. So it's going to have a worse time in Switzerland than he would have happened in Eretz Yisrael if he would have gone away. Let's teach you a lesson to go on holiday abroad. Now, the question is, he turns up, phones up his friend Shimon and says, I want to cancel. Want to cancel? There's no point going to Switzerland. The whole point, like I said, was to avoid the heat. It's worse over there. So Shimon said, they're saying you can cancel, but there's a cancellation fee you're going to have to pay. So now they go for a friendly dintera and take advice. Can Reuven get all his money back or not? Because in a way, he said, it's like a condition. I said, I'm only like buying this package holiday in order to get away from the heat. And now that condition wasn't filled. So obviously the whole deal's off and I should get all my money back. But on the other side of the coin, you didn't speak it out as a condition. You didn't make all the rules of making condition. When you make, there's rules to make condition. Say, I'm only buying this on condition that it's not going to be hot. And if it's not hot, then I don't want to buy it, like tonight or not, the day roofing, then that's a proper condition. If you don't do the tanoim, normally it doesn't count. So the shaila is, him just mentioning that the whole purpose of going to Switzerland was to avoid the heat. Can he break the deal or not? That was one case. On the left-hand case, we have a similar shaila. Reuven, we'll call him Yankele in this case. Yankele was somebody who had a monopoly of selling Arba Minim in France. He's the only guy who sells Arba Minim in France. So he comes to the main supplier in Eretz Yisrael. He says, you don't know me, but I'm going to offer you a deal that you can't refuse. I want to have first chance at seeing all your stock and choose the best, and I'll pay double. You know why? Because I can charge four times the price in France because I have a monopoly. And he chose the stock. He made the deal. He chose the stock. He took the best stuff and he put it on the ship to France. He gets to France and he finds out this year he's got no monopoly. There's other people competing with him, which he can't now raise the price. He has to go with the competitors. And that way, if he goes with competitors, he's going to make a loss because he paid double for the slur. So what he does, he sends it back to Eretz as well. All the stock, the first batch gets back on Chaf Hey Elul, the second batch gets back on 2 days before Sukkos. Now, he doesn't want to pay. He doesn't want to pay. The deal was he took hold of the stock. The deal was to pay after Yotin. He says, look, there's a condition that I could make a huge killing. Like I told you, I had a monopoly. At the end of the day, I didn't have a monopoly. So it's like a condition, only buying it if I have a monopoly. It's no monopoly, so I don't get it. I don't need to take it. So he said, well, again, you haven't fulfilled the conditions of making a Tanai over there. That's got Tanai got to be ruined. So therefore, you can't break the deal. You have to pay. So two cases where he mentions the reason why he's making the deal, but he actually doesn't follow the rules of enforcing a Tanai in that case. So we wanted to know whether it would be a valid tonight. So we discussed and looked into it. And let's go to Maranochum 1, which tells us all that we saw last week. Look at number 1, Aleph. This is what we concluded at that stage. Kosa Rabbeinu Yonah. Says the Torah, there's an opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, Lekeach Yain Mechaver. Somebody buys wine from his friends. Afapi. Even though he says, the reason why I'm buying this wine is because I intend to go to Eretz Israel. Because there I can sell it good. Hamekech Kayim, that sale is valid and enforceable, even if he doesn't go, even if he can't go. Even though he said that's the reason why he's doing it. We can't take his words as making a condition in such a case, because he's buying, and a buyer cannot add conditions unless they follow the rules. A seller who says, I'm selling all my property to go to Eretz Israel, even if he doesn't follow the exact rules of making conditions, that in itself can create a condition, even though he didn't follow the rules, because he's selling to go to Eretz Israel. So no one sells all their stuff to go to Eretz Israel unless they mean it. That's the whole purpose, unless they're saying, well, if I don't go in the end, then I'm not going to sell it. So then he can break the deal if he doesn't go to Eretz Israel. But somebody who's buying stuff, a buyer can never add a condition to the deal unless he follows the rules of conditions, which is making a Tanai Golod, removing all the rules of Tanoim. Here, just mentioning, I'm going there, and this is why I'm doing it. You're going to do it. But even if you don't, the deal's a deal unless you added the Tanai properly. You didn't add the Tanai properly, not valid. You have to keep the deal. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah. Avul Rabbeinu Chananu. But comes along Rabbeinu Chananu. And so, because of She'en Chilek, Bein Moch Lekech. Just as a seller who says, I'm selling all my stuff to go to Eretz Israel, and that's why I'm doing it, we say it's part and parcel of the deal. Even though he didn't speak out the conditions of Tanoim, he says that's the reason, that the reason's good enough to make a condition. And if he doesn't go, he can break the deal. So who's in the buyer just mentioning why he's buying it. And that's the purpose. That purpose now comes part of the deal, and it's intrinsic that the deal is only valid if he has the ability to do what he's wanted to do. So in such a case, he can break the deal as well. So we ended up, machlokas was shown him by not following the rules of adding conditions, just mentioning why I'm doing it, does it actually become a Tanai and therefore can break, blow up the whole deal or not? Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, only a seller can do that. Rabbeinu Chanan says, a buyer can. So the Chora, in our case, both cases should be a machlokas has shown him whether the buyer can break the deal or not, and therefore be a nafka mina between the Penguin Quay case and the Esrogan case. The Penguin Quay, since he's already paid and he wants to say, I give me back my money because I can break the deal because I put the condition, the seller can say, hold on, it's a machlokas here, whether you can break the deal or not. Rabbeinu Yonah says you can't, so therefore I'm keeping the money, as in Choshen Mishpat, I can say that Rabbeinu Yonah is supporting me, that you can't break the deal, I'm going to keep your money. So therefore, in such a case, he won't get his money back, and he has to at least pay for the cancellation fee. But in the case of the boat, where the Esrogim, he hasn't yet paid the money. He's only supposed to pay the money after Yom Tov. So he hasn't yet paid. He can say, I'm not going to pay the money. Because according to Rabbeinu Chananel, I made a condition. The condition wasn't fulfilled. The deal was blown up. It doesn't exist. I don't need to pay. So that's what we saw last week between the two cases. The Chor, there's a difference, we said. Yes.
Wait, what about the fact that the second case is only half the score is coming back at a time it's useless to the seller? He's basically returning him nothing.
We have to still analyze that slightly, but we're going to, that's the second shlav. First shlav is, can he break the deal? The Chor, in the case of the Abamin, where he hasn't yet paid, he can say, I go with opinions, I can break the deal. But in the case of the case of the holiday in Switzerland, since he's already paid, the seller can say, look, I go with the opinion that the deal is a done deal, no conditions added, can't break it back, I'm only giving back your money without the cancellation fee. The cancellation fee has to stay with me. That's what we said is based on those two opinions, the difference between the two cases. That's the Chorah where what you saw. Now, if you go back to the Maor Mekumas, right at the end of this year, we came up with this sort of very interesting conclusion. You look at one base, go just slightly down to leave, you move slightly down to one base, we see that the Torah Choshen Mishpat actually says a bit further on that the Rabbeinu Chananel allows a buyer to break the deal without putting a proper condition, just mentioning the reasoning. Well, that's not in every case a buyer can do that. Why? What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? He says, this is the following words. Pirish Rashi Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Chananel as well. The Dafka B'Melchakakais, only when we're talking about property, non-movable items. No one sells their property. Shemfasin said, that's property is something which gives him a constant panosa. Of course, if he sells his property and he mentions, I'm doing it in order to go to Etzisar, okay, you're doing something abnormal. You're doing something abnormal and you're mentioning why you're doing that abnormal thing because you're going to Etzisar. I understand. Yeah, of course, you only do abnormal things because you go to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, it comes part of the deal. And of course, if you don't go to Eretz Yisrael, it's off. The whole deal's off because this is really abnormal to do. Okay. Shumavaz, yeah. But you sell all your metaltin, movable items. Even if he mentions, I'm selling all my household goods. Not the house. All the household goods because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. And then he can't go. Hamekech kayim, the sales van, he can't break it. There's no condition there. Because it's not abnormal suddenly to say, wake up one morning and say, I'm bored of my household goods. I don't like it. I'm going to sell all of it and just make a whole change over here. That's normal. That's normal to sell metaltelin. And therefore, even though he mentioned at the time of the sale that he's doing it because he's going to Eretz Yisrael, but since he didn't actually speak out the conditions of Tanoim, we say, okay, that's the main reason. But maybe he would do it even without going to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe he would still, even if he's staying here, he'll also sell it. It's also normal to do that. So we don't look at it as a fundamental condition because it's normal to do even when you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. Since it's normal to go to Eretz Yisrael, and you didn't write a proper condition, we say it's not a condition, and the sales value can't break it. So what the Torah says, it says, all that we discuss is that adding a condition doesn't have to follow the rules according to Rebbeinu Chananel, even with the buyer, that's only when we're talking about karka. Well, no one deals with karka in such a fashion without having real reasons, and since he said the reason, we take that's literal the reason, and zehu, if this is the reason and he can't do it, the whole deal's off. Side the seller, side the buyer. But when you're talking about metaltelin, and metaltelin, people do things and they can have 10 reasons to do it, and he happens to mention one, it doesn't mean the deal's off if it doesn't happen, and therefore, without putting in the rules of condition, it's not condition, and you have to fulfill it. Memela, since both the cases of Switzerland and the cases of France, of the Arbor Minim, are talking about where the buyer is trying to add a condition without following the rules, and we say he could, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, well, we see now Rabbeinu Chananel limits that to only karka, and our cases of Switzerland and the cases of France are not karka. Talking about a holiday in the mountains, and you're talking about esrogim, not karka, and therefore now we see and look back and say, no opinion out there says there is a condition over here. There's nothing to rely on. There is no condition over there. You don't put the rules of conditioning to make a condition, so there's no condition. It's a deal without conditions, and therefore the chora in both cases, the buyer would have to pay, even if he hasn't paid. Even in the Arba Minim case, he'll have to pay. There is where we're holding at the moment. That's where we're holding. Now, let us see a new case now and see if we can develop our position where we are and see if things change or at the moment we're holding that the buyer has not a leg to stand on. Of course, he has to pay in the Abba Minim case and in the Switzerland case because he did put a condition over there. That's where we're holding. See if it changes. So, Tony, if you take us back to the Amar Makomas, I will see what's this week's case talking about. An interesting case, and maybe people will bump into this, and we can learn everyday halachas from this particular case in such a fashion. So, you see in that picture, what happened? Well, the right-hand side of that, the right side picture is telling us a situation which happened like this. Reuven approaches Shimon. Now, Shimon is a big supplier of goods. Reuven has a shop and he wants to expand. He wants to expand his inventory. So he goes to Shimon and says, "You're a big supplier of goods. I want to make a big, big deal over here. I want to order goods from you. But you should know," Reuven says to Shimon, "you should know I'm wanting these goods, but how am I going to pay? Haven't really got cash at hand. But you know what? Yankala has promised me a loan of 300,000 shekels. And that's what I'm going to use to pay you for the deal." So Reuven, Shimon says, very nice. I've got stock for you. And we make the deal, and you pay me. Fine. You got somewhere to get your money. I'm very happy for you. Your Yankel has got 300,000. Very happy for you. What's the deal? You can pick up the inventory today. 3 days' time, you have to give me the cash or the checks in lieu of the cash, which you're going to get from, obviously, Yankel. So he picks up the goods. And the deal was, after he picks up the goods, 3 days, he has to give the cash. Comes 3 days. He goes to Yankala and says, "No, Yankala, you promised me a loan. You know what? You told me even to write up a contract and get witnesses to sign on it. And I've done it. I've done a loan contract. I've drawn up the whole loan contract," says Shimon to Yankala. Reuven to Yankala. "I've drawn all the loan contract up. I've got witnesses signed on it. It's a done deal. I'm ready. Kilo, you've got already his chayvus in my hand to you. Give me the loan, 300,000, you promise." What does Yankala say? Yankala says, "Sorry, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to give you a loan. Loan denied. I'm not giving you the loan. But you promise. You promise," says Reuven to Yankala. "You promise, Yankala, you promise. You promise, and he even told me to draw up a contract. I got a lawyer to draw up a contract. You even told me to witnesses to sign it. I signed it in front of the witness, and witness signed it. You even knew that the reason why I needed the money was to buy the goods from Shimon. I bought the goods from Shimon. I was relying. You promised. I filled all your conditions. You can't back out." So Shimon says, Yankala says that money hasn't yet left my hands. I'm backing out. I'm not prepared to loan the money anymore. Okay? So this actual Shiloh, it actually has two parts to it. First part, can Yankala back out? Second part, can Reuven back out of his deal with Shimon? Can Yankala back out with his deal with Reuven to lend him the money? And can Reuven back out of the deal with Shimon, if he can't get the cash from Yankala, can he get back out of that deal in order not to be in shtuch with financial problems? Those are two parts. So we're going to analyze firstly tonight, the first part. Can somebody, Yankala, back out of the promise of a loan after the contract has already been drawn up? After everything's been signed and delivered, it's just the money has yet changed hands. Can Yankala back out of that loan commitment? And it probably happens quite often, this Shiloh, amongst on small basis. I promise the loan, I decided I'm not going to do it. Can you back out or not back out once you've done it? So what does everybody think? Can you back out of a loan? Somebody comes to you, you say, I'm going to give a loan, and you say, nah, I changed my mind. Can you do that? Can you just back out?
Was there any Kenyan that happened between the for the loan agreement? Or it was just a verbal?
He just told him, I'll lend you 300,000, write up the documents, loan documents, get the witnesses to sign it, you sign it for the witness, bring me the star, and I'll give you the cash. That was the deal. He did everything, and then he said, I'm backing out. Can he back out or not?
What happens if he receives information that perhaps the person that's borrowing the money is not as reliable as he thought originally? In that, okay. So circumstances you would not be able to withdraw?
So that's a very good point. If, let me ask you like this, let's do first stage first. If I already sold you something and then I get information after the fact, can I back out at that stage?
There's a Mekhtaros concept, so maybe yes.
That's if I give you misinformation. But if I didn't give you misinformation, is I want money and I plan to pay back and I still plan to pay back, and you just get more information and say, look, he's not a rich guy. He's not so solid. He may not end up paying back. It's a bit risky, the levels of the risk you're doing over here. And then he's not comfortable. I didn't do Mekhtaros. I never implied that I was something to rely on more than anything else. So therefore, there's no Mekhtaros. We're just asking, can you back out or not? Have you already sold him something, so to speak? Or haven't you sold him something? What you told him, I'm loaning you money. That's it or not? Can you back out or not? That's the question.
Sounds like a Kenyan devarim. At most, they didn't make any Kenyan a real Kenyan. They just said he's going to do it. So it should be a chusra amana maybe to go back, but not
so
more than
that. So David is saying there's two problems. Firstly, there's no Kenyan. You know, hakbar, no mashicha, no money, no nothing. Secondly, and even what he's promising to do is just something that I will do. That's the devarim. It's not like I'm selling you a chair or table. Or as I'm just going, this is what I would do. So there's two flaws in being binding at all. So that's what David says. It's not binding at all for two problems. There's no kinyan bechlal, nothing, just words. Words can't do anything. Secondly, what he promised to do is not the chair or the table. He promised to do something. Do something. Like, even if you do a kinyan to do something is nothing as well. It's nothing. Two main flaws. What's Eric asking?
He thought he had the money to lend, and then he found for some reason that he didn't have it.
So Eric is saying, he made a mistake. Fine. He making a mistake, what's your mechuyev, doesn't help. Maybe you have to, if it's too late, it's too late. Mekhtaros can blow up a deal. But now David is saying it's no deal at all. If you have a deal, just say, I made a mistake. Fine, but it's too late. You made a mistake, you have to suffer. But if you have David to say there's no deal at all, there's no Kenyan. And even if there is a Kenyan, it's a Kenyan on something which Kenyan don't work on. That means to do something. Kenyan to do something is nothing. Two flaws that nothing is counted. Yes, Baruch.
It could be there is a Kenyan. I forget the term, amtusa or something like that. If it's an accepted practice that people do, for example, a handshake or mazel bracha, whatever they say in the Diamond District. So perhaps with a loan and this type of deals, when the lender says, do A, B, C, and D, F, and G, then the money is yours, is that considered
we haven't got any lawyers with us tonight in order to answer whether there's accepted minhag over here. But I personally haven't heard there's a minhag that you have to lend money when you say, follow my rules. Yeah, I haven't heard that minhag yet. Yeah. So far, the whole thing is no deal. It's Ellie, what do you want to say?
But he signed the contract, though?
The borrower. The borrower fulfilled the lender's commitments. What did the lender say to the borrower? Go make a contract with the lawyer, get witnesses to sign it, you sign it, and give it over to me. The lender hasn't done anything. The borrower has done everything what the lender told him to do. It's just now the lender says, I've changed my mind.
Yeah, if he didn't sign the contract.
And David is saying, quite valid, he could change his mind because nothing is binding on anything up to now. So let's go to Amar Makomas. Let's go to alarm code number two. We'll see what discussion is over there.
Someone in this room?
I'm looking for it. Hold on.
No, nice.
Okay, number two. Comes the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Lametes and says the following. Lova Shabala Bastin. A Bora who cuts the Bastin. Bishtachov. The Bora comes to Bastin and he has to claim the following. He says, the Bora, he comes with a document of debt that he's indebted himself with. Shibyoto. And what's his claim? Lichfus has a mouth and a half. See, I wrote a document that indebted myself to Shimon. Did what he told me. And now I want you basically to force him to lend me money. He doesn't want to lend me money, but I did what he told me. I wrote a document of debt. I want him to give me the money. You basically force him to give him the money. Of course, filling the conditions we already agreed on, whatever it says in the document. Afilu, says the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. Afilu is the Rashba, basically it's the Rashba. Afilu is Baresh Emetas Amal V'Nichdav. Even if you face and reveal and find out that the document of debt was written with full consent of the lender. The lender told him to do it, and it was performed. He can always back out before he gives the money, just like David said. Because until the money is given, nothing is obligating the malva to lend. He says, I was willing to do it. I wanted to do it. Do this, that, A, B, C, and D, and then I'll do it. Even if he does A, B, C, and D, but he hasn't yet given the money. He can always back out, like David said. No Kenyan, and even the Kenyans are Kenyan to do things which are not valid. Okay? That's how we would think, and David told us that. However, you have to now explain the next line, on which is two base. Comes along the Shach and says, yeah, that's the Rashba. Yeah, that's Shulchan Aruch. But if you look in other Rishonim, the Rim Lagash and the Rabban Chokin, they argue. And they say that the lender has to lend. Why? And I want you to explain the reasoning. These are the words which are given. Because there's a lien on the possessions of the borrower from the time the document was signed. The Shibud deraisa, because Shibud is deraisa. Now, to the floor, to everybody. What does this Ramban and Rimagash mean? They are cholik. They say that he has to lend. The reasoning he gives was because as soon as you write the documents, that's too late. There's a Shibud deraisa. What does that mean? How does he get around the problems of, we mentioned, of the Rashba saying it's nothing, like David told us, it's nothing, it's words, and even it's not words, it's the volume, it's only promised two things. What's the Ramban saying? No, I argue, and he's giving something to do with Shibud deraisa. What does he mean? Yes, Tuli.
So there may be no Kenyan here, he's not disagreeing with that part, but there's something else. There's essentially a neder or a Shibud deraisa by writing that. So you have a deraisa obligation to pay. So if he has a deraisa obligation to pay what? Lumafreya, if you don't give him the money, it will turn out that the whole star is sheker. So you have to give him money to avoid having sheker on the star because there's no sheba then.
Oh, okay, so you said four things, and I don't know what you mean. So far, you mentioned over there that there's something about a sheba. Then you mentioned something about sheker. Then you mentioned something about nadorim. So, and then you mentioned something else. I can't even remember what you said now. Now, tell me, what do you mean? Never mind what the man means. What do you mean?
What this document will have a false metzias if we don't transfer the money. And right now, the star is saying that he owes him money. That the Lova owes money to the Malva.
The star is written that says that he owes him money. But yes, he has lent him the money. Fine.
But turns out he doesn't owe him money. If he doesn't actually lend him the money, it will turn out he doesn't owe him the money.
Okay. No. What's the problem?
So therefore, the entire star would be Sheker.
Okay. Very good. Tear it up. Why can the Ramban say, as Matzis just joined us, I'll repeat the question. How can the Ramban say that because the lender promised, I'm going to lend you 300,000 shekels, all you have to do, Mr. Lova, is go and write a document with the lawyer, sign it in front of the witnesses, bring it to me, and I'll lend you 300,000. Comes the Lova along, he does everything what he's supposed to, he brings the documents, and the Marva says, I changed my mind. Says David, and also the Rashba, the Shulchanach, he can change his mind, because he's done no kinyan that obligates him to do anything, and even if he's obligated to do devorim, which is nothing. Comes along the Ramban, which is bought by the Shach, and says, no, he has to lend. Why does he have to lend? Something to do with shibbet. What's the problem? Tuli says, because Sheker. Okay, so Sheker, the doctor in Sheker, tear it up. Why force me to lend money?
There's a machlokas how shibbet works. If it's a mixas kinyan in the nechasim of the lova.
So what do you mean, David? Can explain it very good.
So when you make a shibud that I owe him the money, I'm going to back it up with my karka, or shibud the raisa with my everything I own.
So that creates
a kinyan of the malva in the nichse lova.
And therefore?
So now we have a kinyan. We created a kinyan.
And therefore?
So then he can't go back.
Why can't he go back? So he's got now a kinyan in his nochosim. Why can't he go back?
So now we have a kinyan between us to do the halva.
No, you got a kinyan that you've given the malva ownership in your nechosim called a shibbet. No, so what's that for kinyan? Nothing to do with the loan. Why does that force the loan?
It's no longer just a kinyan dvarim.
No longer just a kinyan. How? Explain. Why is it not a kinyan dvarim?
It's a type of a shot of in the deal itself.
Khalifin.
Khalipim, yes. What does that mean, Khalipim? Getting closer now, moving forward. Yeah, very good.
Everyone's... He has a shibud to pay back, but you can only pay back, like Tully said, sort of, in one of his four things, if he actually gives money. So that's why there's an exchange. The shibud only takes place, so after the money is exchanged hands.
And therefore, very good, Baruch. Just 2 centimeters away from the answer. Very good. What's the punchline? Comes along the lover, the borrower, in the eyes of the Ramban and says like this, you haven't done anything? What do you mean I haven't done anything? I've given you ownership in my property called shibbet. So you now own something. If you own something, Mr. Lender, you need to pay for it. How do you pay for the ownership of my nechosim which I've given to you? You have to lend me money as payment for what you've got already in your pockets. You own ownership in my property called the shibbet. Now you have to pay day for that ownership. What's the payday for shibbet? Lending the money. So it's too late. You already bought it. You already own the property. And now you can't back out of owning the property. You just have to pay for it. And what's paying? Paying means giving the loan. Normally we say the loan comes first and that creates ownership in the property. Here we're saying the other way around, says the Ramban. I gave you ownership of the property in lieu of you having to pay. So now you've got it, you have to pay for it. So therefore you have to give me the loan, says the Ramban. I already given you ownership in my property. Can't back out. Yes, Ellie.
Isn't it only when he signs it, when the Mavir signs the shtar?
No, because as soon as the Lover signs the document in front of witnesses, that transfers ownership of his property now to the lender. Don't need the lender's permission.
And the lender gave permission for that.
And the lender gave permission. Of course, it can't happen without the lender giving permission. But the lender gave permission, they gave him instructions, and he followed instructions. And if I gave you ownership, And now you have to pay. Court the loan. Since there's a loan, you can't back out.
The Shibud is only the amount that was loaned. There's nothing that's Meshubad yet.
No.
If Lukuchos come and buy
from him, normally that way around. The normal way is to give the money first, which creates the ownership in the property in lieu of the money you gave. But here it worked the other way around because you told me to write the documents and then lend you the money, which basically you're saying, give me ownership up to the value, in our case, of 300,000 shekels. Give me ownership in your property of 300,000 shekels, and then I'll give you money of 300,000 shekels.
If someone came and bought that property between the time that the shtar was signed and the time that the malva actually gave him the money, would the malva be able to be toref lekuchos?
According to the Ramban, yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's not a shtar muktam?
Not shtar muktam. According to Ramban, yes. Okay. Shibud is already created, ownership already transferred, and then you give me the money. Fine, give me the money now. So we got a big machlokas is shown him in a case where the lender says, write me a document and then lend me the money, and then I'll lend you the money. And he writes the document. Can he back out? Says the Rashba, says the Shulchan Aruch, he can. Because he's done nothing. Says the Rabban, he hasn't done nothing. He now owns property of value of 300,000. He's already owns it. Can't back out. He has to lend. Machlokas is shown him. So, if it's a machlokas rishonim, come back to our case. What's going to be the halacha in our case? Reuven went to Yankele and said, look, I'm going to buy stock from Shimon of 300,000 shekels. I've got no cash flow. I need 300,000 shekel loan. Will you lend me the 300,000 shekel loan? Says Yankele Peseder. All you have to do is write up a document with the lawyers, sign it in front of witnesses, bring me the documents, I'll lend you them 300,000 shekels, no problem. Says, Reuven Yankele, you sure? Because I'm gonna go and get the stock in the meantime. Yeah, fine, of course. And he went and bought the stock in lieu of getting that 300,000, and now comes along Yankele and said, I changed my mind. So what should be the halacha? Can he change his mind or not change his mind?
He could, because machlokas. He could say, I hold not like
the Tony says he could, because it's a machlokas. The Rashba says you can change your mind. The man says he can't. He hasn't yet given the money, so then we can say, I'm not going to give it. That's what Tony wants to suggest. Now, that would be very good. It's just you're relying on the Rashba. Maybe the Ramban is correct. At least it's a Sofik. Maybe you should feel bad about it and say, Sofik, maybe I'll do something wrong. Let's see if we've got a Gemara that supports one of the opinions. The Shach brings this Gemara to support one of the opinions. You tell me which opinion it supports, and we'll see what the halacha therefore is. Go to number 3, please. Says the Gemara in Kedushin, HaMekadish B'milva Eina Mekedeshes. Come up to a woman, and you say to her, here, this person owes me money. This person owes me money. I'm giving you the right to be able to collect that money. This document, I'm marrying you with this. Doesn't work. She's not Mekadeshes. You haven't given her anything. Yay, Sherman, Mekadeshes. Some say, no, she is married. It works. Says the Gemara, what's the Machlukas? Is she married or not? What's the Machlukas? Is he giving her something or is he not giving her something? Make up your mind. Has he given or not? What's the Machlukas? Whether you've given her something or not? So says the Gemara, Amina lohub, lo otsin kula amal lo bigin to shus lo vakamari. Avada, if anything happens with that money, the borrower who borrowed the money, the one who borrowed the money, if anything happens, he's going to be responsible. Avada, he has to pay if anything happens. My time alone, why? Because it's no worse than borrowing a chair, a table, if anything happens. It's not yours. The lover doesn't own the chair tables. He just borrowed to use it. Anything happens, then he has to pay for it, even if it's not his. So that's not a discussion. Avada, the borrower is achrai to pay for anything happens. The discussion is, but who owns the money? Once the lover borrows the money, who owns the money? What if the money that the borrower bought or has, is it still, while it's in the shus of the borrower, is it still belong to the lender? And then well, he's given the woman his money. Or once the lender gave the money to the borrower, it's no longer the lender's and it now belongs to the borrower. Says the words there. The nafkamina, whether she's married or not, has the lender given her anything to marry her? Depends whether the money which is by the borrower is still the lender's or belongs to the borrower. That's the machlokas. That's the machlokas, whether she's married or not. Whether the money, once it's been lent, does it still belong to the borrower? Or not belong to the borrower? Does it still belong to the lender or not belong to the lender? Once the borrower has got the money, does it still belong to the lender or not? That's a machlokes in the Gemara. Ad kan the Gemara. Says the Shach from this Gemara, these words, I can make a decision which opinion halachically is correct, whether it's the Rashba you can retract or the Ramban that you can't retract. What opinion do you think this Gemara is supporting? Is it supporting you can retract or is it supporting you can't retract?
Ramban.
Retract or no retract? Because not everyone remembers the names. Can you retract or not retract?
Cannot retract.
You cannot retract, says Tully. Does everybody agree to Tully that this Gemara is supporting that you cannot retract?
I'll disagree.
Uh-oh.
David disagrees. Anyone else? No? So no one else has
an opinion? I think I disagree. I think I also disagree. I don't think it's like the Ramban.
You so agree. Also, Mr. Bloch also argues. Okay, so let's hear from Mr. Bloch tonight. Why do you feel that Tully is wrong and this Gemara is saying you can retract? Go on.
Because I think the Gemara here is saying that he had to give the money. And if he didn't give the money, means that there's no contract. They didn't rely on the fact that there was a shibud on the money and the woman's receiving anything from the shibud.
Spot on. Very good, Mr. Bloch. What the says the Shach, the Gemara has a sophic. Does it belong to the borrower or not belong to borrower? But the Gemara sophic is only once the borrower's got the money, the Shaila is once it's in his hands. Shaila, is it his or not? That's the discussion in the Gemara. But it's poshut to the Gemara that if he hasn't yet got the money, of course the money belongs to the lender. And since it belongs to the lender, there's nothing to discuss. He can marry her even if he signed a document already. Even if he's already signed a document, the money is not nothing to do with the borrower. He doesn't need to give it. Says the Shach, from here we see the Gemara is supporting the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rashba that even if you've written the documents, calls man, you haven't given the money, there's nothing to discuss. It belongs to the lender, it's his, and he can do what he likes with it, and he can just say, go away, I'm not interested in actually lending it in the moment. A great support, says to the Shach, to the opinion of the Rashba. And therefore, halachically, the bottom line is, even though there's a machlokas has shown him, but since the Shulchan Aruch didn't even bring the Ramban over here, he didn't bring the Ramban, he only brought the Rashba, and we got Gemara supporting that opinion, says the Shach, there's no machlokas, avada halaki, even once the document of debt has been signed, then you can always still be chozer. You can still be chozer until the money goes, you can still be chozer. Now, have we got anything else to analyze in respect to the shaila between Reuven and Yankel? We've now established halachically Yankel can say to Reuven, I've changed my mind, even though you filled my conditions and you wrote a document, halachically I can change my mind. Okay? Is there still anything to discuss? Has Reuven got any claims against Yankel? Even so, he's still got some claim. Has he got anything to any claim that he can make?
It was Gorim and Nezek here. Now Reuven has to scramble and borrow money at high interest rates.
Oh, very good. Very good. Let us see Marmokum number three. Let us go to number three. Number four. Says the Shulchan Aruch, which is what Matzis wants to say. Yeah, he says, move it down. You can back out. But I've got another claim against you. Because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you say to a shopkeeper, Asili Dovah Plodi Vekhamilcha, make for me, the woman, make me a cupboard, I'll buy it from you. You make it, I'll buy it. What type of cupboard? Let's say Arnav Kodesh. Make me Arnav Kodesh. $100,000 Arnav Kodesh. Make it, I'll buy it from you. 5 months later, he's finished making Arnav Kodesh. But so woman, he did it. The buyer said, I've changed my mind. I don't want to buy it. I spent 5 months making this. It's $100,000 here. What do you mean you don't want to buy it? You promised to buy it. Well, promises are promises. And no Kenyan. I can back out. Says the Gemara, says Shulach, Einochanam, you can back out. But in Dovah Shalei Kamiyad, if you can't find a replacement buyer for that Arnav Kodesh, Yafsid, he's going to now lose. Chayiv, you're going to have to pay for the losses. Not because you bought it already and it's yours and you have to pay. It's not yours. You didn't buy it. You didn't make any kinyan. But you caused him damage. And the damage is Meshum Halacha of Gami. I relied on you. And relying on you, I caused me lost over here. Now you have to pay because I relied on you. You know I'm relying on you. And you made me make a loss because of your being relying. That's called Gami, and you have to pay. So over here, do we have the claim of Gami between Reuven and Yankala? No? Have we got that such a claim?
I don't understand why you'd necessarily have to pay in that case, because what would happen if you were not satisfied with the quality of the goods that the craftsman produced?
If there's a flaw in what was produced and it wasn't according to specifications, then Enoch Anami, you have a claim against him. This is not what I wanted to buy. But if he did everything you asked him to do and you just say, change your mind, fine. You may change your mind. You haven't done any kinyan, fine, but you've caused me damage. You know I'm relying on you, and there's nothing to back out that's because of me. You're backing out stum. So therefore, damage claim. Einochanam, you're chayv, but some damage is called gami. Have we got such a claim in our case of Reuven and Yankala? Have we got such a claim?
In both cases, they should have at least taken a down payment or something, or he should have gotten him to sign the shtar first.
Okay.
You can't just say, okay, they said something. People say things, you know. And
you know, I'm relying on you. I trust you. Okay, Eddie, people, I trust you, Eddie.
I understand. People say things, and you have to, in order to secure it, you have to take your action to secure it. And if you don't.
Okay. So I didn't protect myself. But at the end of the day, you caused me damage. And the Shulchan says, even if he's a tam, not the translation of the Torah calls Tam. Tam is very high level. Tam, which the Bnei Odom call. And he doesn't, because of his Tam, he doesn't protect himself. But at the end of the day, he's still got a claim. Not of you own it, you pay, but you damage me because you know I'm relying on you. I spent money because of you. So therefore, you have to pay me my losses. You have no right to damage me. Gami, yes, I'm a Tam, but you still damage. That's the Shulchan Aruch. I want to know if you copy and paste the Shulchan Aruch to our case over here with Yankala or not. There was something came up on the screen. I don't know if there was a message.
It was Eric. I want to say the opposite of Eric. Eric wrote, the lender told the borrower to go ahead and buy the goods. And I want to say, Dafka not. The lender said, go ahead and write up a shtar. He never said, go buy goods. So the lender never asked him to actually make anything or acquire anything, and therefore he didn't cause such direct damage.
The machlokas Eric and Tully says no, he's not causing him any damage, and Eric, because he didn't tell him to buy the goods, but Eric is saying
Rama instead of Garmi.
Yeah, So Tully says, Gorma, not Garmi, because he didn't tell him to buy the goods. And Eric is saying, it's Garmi. Anyone, we've got two opinions there. Anyone can take one of those opinions. It's fine with me. Anyone wants to suggest an opinion of it? Anyone want to suggest their own opinion of it?
And once he's told him to go sign a contract, isn't
yeah, Danny, can you speak up louder? Because I can't hear.
Yeah, sorry. And my assumption is once he's told him to go sign a contract and you know do everything he needs to make the nechassim, and we're talking about inyan of shibud, so that, and in my mind, that means that he's told him to go ahead and buy the goods.
Ah. So pastures, this is what it seems to be, as Eric and Danny's correct. Okay, Tony, it's one of your knights, and what can I say? Eric and Danny's correct. Why? Because what happens? He said, Reuven came to Tony, he said, look, I need money, cash flow. I've got a huge deal, need 300,000 to buy the goods. I need you. Without you, I can't buy the goods. Says Tony, no worries. I'll give it to you. No problem. Go ahead. I'm going to give you the money. Just bring me the documents. Okay. So now Reuven is telling Tully, I rely on you in order that your reliance is good for me to go ahead and buy it. And Tully said, but Satan, you can rely on me. What you say, do spend money based on me giving you security. That means I'm causing you to buy it. And therefore, you're going to be hold responsible for any damages if you now back out. That's very simple. That's called Garmi. There's no difference really in Gorma and Garmi. The only difference between Gorma and Garmi is Garmi, you know I'm relying on you, and you damage me when you know I'm relying on you. Whereas Gorma, who says I'm relying on me? Here, it's quite clear that Reuven was relying on Tully giving the money in order to, not Tully, but Yankel giving him the money in order to buy the goods. And he's bought it. He knows he's not has to pay. He's in stock.
The case of the Shemana, the wording is, he says, Asali Davar Ploni. He's specifically asking him to go.
But that's one example of the case. One example of the case where I'm relying on you. But there's another example of the case that I want to buy those goods. I can't buy it without your money. Do you going to give me the money in order to buy it? And I'm going to buy it based on your commitment. Yes, I'm committed. You go ahead and buy. So that's called rely. That's Garmi. So this is where we're going to leave you tonight to think about till next week. Is it damages? We say Lachor is. But it can only be damages if the second part of the Shiloh comes out with a certain result. What's the second part of the Shiloh? Reuven goes back to Shimon, the one he bought the goods. And he says, Reuven says to Shimon, look, I bought the goods. And I said in the contract, we said, 3 days' time, I'm going to give you the money. At the time of buying the goods, Reuven said to Shimon, I said, where am I going to get the money from? I said, I'm going to get it from Tully. I have no money at the moment. All my money of 300,000 from Yankele. I'm going to get it from Yankele, the 300,000. And I can provide it in 3 days. That's when Yankele is going to give it to me. Says Shimon, fine, okay, you get your money from the Yankel of Satan. You can take the goods now and pay me in 3 days' time. He took the goods, and now he comes back to Shimon and says, look, Yankel didn't give me the money. I can't pay. So Shimon says, too late, you bought it, and now you have to pay. I don't care whether you got the money from Yankel, Shmankel, or Binkel. Who cares? You paid, and you bought, and now you have to pay in 3 days' time. But Reuven says, I told you, my whole source of paying you is from Yankele. And now Yankele can't pay, giving the money, I can't pay. It's like me saying, I'm only selling this item because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. I can't go into Israel. The whole deal's off because I put a condition in there. It's like a condition. I'm only buying your goods if I can get the money from Yankele. That's what Reuven wants to claim. You think about it based on this Rabbeinu Hananu and based on that Rabbeinu Yonah, we had the discussion. Is this called putting condition of in the sale or not? When he says, I'm buying your goods, I'm going to pay you with the 300,000 from a loan which Yankel has promised me, does that make a condition in the sale that the sale is blown up and you don't have, you can return the goods if he doesn't actually get the money from Yankel or not. Based on that, Rabbeinu Chanan or Rabbeinu Yonah will be able to work it out. Have a wonderful Shavuot Tov, a good Loch, a lovely week, beautiful share, nice Chavim Yedidim. Have enjoy your time. We'll see you next week.
Good work.